like to invite you this evening to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the faith that you've given to us. We thank you for the wisdom and understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, we pray that you would bless your word this evening. Bless us with the filling of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Again, Lord, that you might be highly exalted in our lives, blessed and empowered by your strength and power to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Build Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches, and bless all the missionaries, Lord, to be successful, and that you might be honored and glorified and soul saved. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message simply tonight is right there in our text in verse 24. Lord, thou art God. Amen. God had brought the disciples, God had brought the people of God to the place to where they were able to proclaim, Lord, thou art God. Now let me ask you this question. Did the Lord's disciples already know that the Lord was God? Did they already know that? Yes, they did. But wait a minute. God brought them to the place to where they proclaimed what they already knew to the glory of God, but to their own blessing. God just revealed himself in a mighty way, and it just reaffirmed and confirmed and reaffirmed their faith. And they had to say, Lord, thou art God. That is where God wants to bring you and I tonight. Every day, he wants us to be able to look and see his handiwork in our own personal lives, and that we might be able to say, Lord, thou art God. And so tonight, as we consider our text, we have a faithful witness to God's people, right? We talk about witnessing to the world, but I want you to know God wants to witness of his great glory to his people and to reaffirm our faith. And so tonight, I want to just take a few moments and consider the three thoughts that we have before us here tonight. And that is a time of testimony. And then secondly, we have an answer to prayer. And then the last thought will be great grace upon them all. And that's ultimately what God wants to bring into your life and mine. And so again, this is the work of the Lord. And we are picking up where we left off in our text here. We know that Peter was confronted by the Pharisees and the captain of the temple and the Sanhedrin to not preach in the name of the Lord, right? Not preach by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like what Peter said. He said, well, you decide what's better for me to do, to listen to God or to listen to you. Amen. And anybody in their right mind, I mean that also, right? And their right mind would say, well, you better listen to God before you listen to any human being, even if it's ourselves, right? And concerning the priest and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. So they were on cloud 10, amen? They were stepping up and they were enjoying what the Lord was doing in their lives. And so they go back to their own company. Isn't that a good thing? Listen, God wants us to come back every Sunday evening, every Wednesday, come back to our own company and encourage the believers of truly, thou art God. And so these disciples were excited about what the Lord was doing. And let's consider this time of testimony. Listen again what they say. They come back in verse 23. It says, and being let go, they were released, remember, and warned not to preach in the name of Jesus. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. How many people are speaking now? They're all speaking, right? With one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, because it was an undeniable witness that God had given to them, and they couldn't deny it. And even they spoke when they were speaking amongst themselves. Look, this is a notable miracle. You know what a notable miracle is? It's a miracle that you can take a note of, right? I mean, it is. Listen, mark it down. It took place and everybody knows it. There was no denying it. And so these Pharisees and the religious people were saying, what do we do about this? Well, we can't do anything, because how can you deny what took place? And by the way, 5,000
5,000 men got saved. Wow, what a work of God. What could they say? Were these people who were opposing Jesus Christ just a little bit outnumbered? Amen? And by the way, listen, I want you to know, better yet, God wants us to know that the devil and his crowd are always outnumbered. We are on the Lord's side, and so there be greater is he that is in you that is in the world, and there are more that are for us than that are against us. And so we thank the Lord for that in spite of the opposition. And so now they come to this place where they're praising God. They say, Lord, thou art God, in verse 24 there, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They're quoting scripture, aren't they? And they're saying, look, this happened before. Amen. This has happened before. And so they're praising the Lord. And notice this in verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They did that during the Lord's earthly ministry. They're doing that now. Question, will they do that again in the future? Yeah, they're doing it even today, aren't they? They're trying to call that which is good evil, and that which is evil, they're trying to call it good. Listen, may you and I have the faith or trust in the Word of God to say, this is what God says. God said he made them man and woman. That's what he said. Listen. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen? May it be God's people. The world will never be a... But listen, may God's people stand up and say, I want you to know something. God made male and female. That's it. There are only two genders. Oh my goodness. Do you know who you're standing up against? I want you to know whose side I'm on, not who I'm standing up against. And God wants us to be that kind of confident in our God. Amen? Listen, we are on the winning side. And listen, if we don't proclaim the truth of God's word, how will they know? You cannot homogenize and dilute the word of God into the philosophy of the world and expect it to glorify God and God to redeem anybody. You cannot dilute. The word has to be pure and unadulterated in order for God to bless it. We cannot just say, well, you know, I understand what the Bible says, but today, maybe today, there, you know, you can do whatever you want. Really? Really? Is that what God says? You can just decide one day just to, it doesn't really matter. No, God says it matters throughout every generation. God's word is sure. Listen, not even just in earth, but in heaven throughout all eternity, God's word is sure. Now, mark it down. Let it known unto us. We will be in trouble with the world all the day. But wait a minute, what did Jesus say about the world and how it felt about him? Jesus said, hey, listen, the world hated me first. And if it hates me, guess what? Don't expect to be liked by it. Now, we're not trying to stick our finger in the eye of the world. That's not what we're trying to do. But may we stand faithful to the word of God, because if not, nobody's benefited by it. Fathom this thought. The world is really on a downward, unstoppable trend. Amen? Can't stop itself. If God's people don't stand for the truth and don't allow the light of the Word of God to shine through our lives, the world truly has no hope. And so we must in the love of Christ, stand for the truth of God. So they're praising God and they're saying, listen, I want you to know that the kings of the earth stood up against and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Do you know what God is saying? When Jesus was taken and crucified, God was in control. Listen, when God said, this is what the heathen are going to do, the heathen did it. And when God said, this is what I'm going to do, God did it. Amen? And it's the same today. Listen, Everything in the Word of God has been written is talking about our lifetime. It's talking about our lifetime. Does it not talk about the end of days? Absolutely. And we were talking about this morning in Sunday school class. The Bible says that knowledge in the end days was going to be increased. In the book of Daniel, there's going to be traveling to and fro throughout the whole world. There is more information available than ever before. Amen. Now let me correct that. Right, wrong, or indifferent, because it's not always right. Do you know that they are trying to get transportation that can take you anywhere in the world in a very short time? I can't remember the time frame, but they're trying to come up with some kind of a rocket ship that will take you like just to the other side of the world I think it's an hour, but within 2 hours or something like that. They're already going, taking people up into space. People, not astronauts, they're taking people up into space. You've heard that, right? And so they are, listen, talk about travel, but may we not be amazed at the travel, but may we be reminded that God said it was going to be like this. And by the way, listen, there's confusion. There's not liberty. There's not freedom in all of these things. People are more stressed than ever before. We have more things plaguing our society. We have more upheaval in our society. And the reason for that is because mankind does not have the answers without God. It has to be with the Lord. So he's saying, listen, this is what took place. Even Herod and Pontius Pilate, they were standing, and Israel were gathered together, verse 28, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, they're confident in God's great mercy and great control, and they're testifying of God's goodness. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Did you just hear what they asked for? They said, listen, now they're all in an uproar. And here's what we're asking for you, for us. That we might be able with all boldness to speak your word. Do you think that might be a good thing for God's people to ask God to give to his church? Yes. That absolutely, right? Listen, we need to be calling upon the Lord. Listen, they are breathing out threatenings. Aren't they doing that today? And they are opposing your servants. Lord, may you give us boldness, all boldness, that we might speak the truth of God's word in spite of the opposition. Then notice verse 30, he says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Did you see that? Listen, why did they ask for that? Because that is what changes the minds and hearts of mankind. When God gives a witness, again, I want to remind you, remember the two thieves on the cross. And both of them were railing against the Lord. And in some short span of time, one of the thieves that were on the cross that deserved to be there said, Lord, remember me. God gave him something that opened up his eyes to see that he was wrong and that God was right. And so likewise also, these Pharisees and this religious group, they said, listen, what can we say? A notable miracle has been done by them. Everybody has seen it. And 5,000 souls were saved. 5,000 men were saved. And so what can we say? We can't say a whole lot, could they? All they could say was, don't speak in the name of Jesus. And you know what that did for them? Let's go tell everybody what God did. Amen. Do you know that's the same thing God wants to do today? He wants to do a work in your life and mine that you and I might be able to say, let me tell you what God did. You know what Peter was saying? Peter was saying, I want you to know what God did for me and what God did for John and what God did for this man. Amen. And what God did for the 5,000 men that got saved and believed. And so God wants to give us that kind of a testimony and give us that time of rejoicing together. And so has God changed? Is he not the same? He's the same. And so we can count on his great faithfulness. Now, One verse, verse 31, gives us an answer to prayer. Notice what happens here in verse 31. And when they had prayed, watch this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Who shook the place? Let's try that again. Who shook the place? They were just praying. Wait a minute. Didn't they just get some answer to prayer just a little while ago? Wait, and even before that, when they stood before and they spoke with boldness, and just before that, when the 5,000 men were saved, and just before that, before they were on their way into the temple and they saw that lame man, and he got healed. Wait, it seems to me that God just seems to bless and bless and bless and bless and bless.
Amen.
And so if that is the nature of God, why shouldn't we say, God, what's the matter? What, is there something in my life? What is it that I'm not understanding? Because it appears to me that you want to bless and bless and bless and bless, because that builds our faith and our confidence, and it causes us to get excited about the things of God. You want to know why we're not excited about the things of God? Because not a whole lot's happening. And it's not because our God has changed. That's the truth, is it not? So we need to say, God, my eyes are being opened now. My understanding from your word. So Lord, I'm going to ask you to do in my life what you've already promised. We're not asking God to do a new thing. We're asking God to do what he wants to do. Did he say that he gave himself for the church? Did he say he wants to bless the church? Did he say he's preparing his church to be a beautiful bride? Did he say it would glorify him, right, throughout all the ages? And so nothing has changed in the heart and mind of God. God just wants his bride to get on board with the direction he's wanting to lead us in. So, again, look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with what? Isn't that amazing? And they spake the word of God with? Why, didn't they just ask, Lord, that we might speak the word of God with boldness? And God answered it. How long did it take God to answer it? Didn't seem like a long time there, did it? And so God is in the business of working in the behalf of his people. And all, Lord, do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
And then if you have any doubts, let me ask you this. Do you need any help with your faith? I do. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help me not to get in your way. And then the last thought, listen to this. Great grace was upon them all. This is amazing to me when we consider this. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Listen to this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon how many of them? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Do you know Jesus Christ died for the church? Do you believe that tonight? I want to show you something interesting here, and then we're going to close. Go over to the book of Ephesians just for a moment, and look at Ephesians chapter 5, and notice what he says here in verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I want you to know something here. Why did Jesus Christ die? To pay for our sins, right? But he also died to bring something into existence. This is a picture. Listen, Paul is, he's giving us an allegory here, but he's also revealing the truth back in Genesis chapter 2 when God caused a deep sleep to be on Adam and brought forth Eve. Now, Jesus died for sinners, but in this particular case, Jesus also died to bring forth the existence of the church and the power of the church. Notice this, watch this, ready? Watch what happens here. So verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you see that? That it might be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, does this sound familiar? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And by the way, the Lord was backing this up. So listen, when God put Adam to sleep, and that was a picture of death, was that because Eve had sinned already? Eve hasn't even been in existence. But God put a deep sleep to bring forth his bride. And he also had in mind of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring forth the bride of Christ into being. And so, yes, he died for our sins, but he also died to bring forth his bride. And so, it was that he might do a glorious work in his church. And that is the mind of God and the purpose of God for your life and mine as believers and being part of the New Testament church. Listen, there is a movement today where people are saying, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what church you've come from. You can be a member here. We're not preaching that. I mean, if you believe you can lose your salvation, but you call yourself a Christian, well, you can put your name on the church roll. In fact, we won't even have a church roll. How about that? We won't even have a church roll. We just invite everybody to come in and everybody be a part. Is that what God wants?
No.
It doesn't matter. It matters to God. And he wants us to know that, listen, salvation is by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it, and that alone. If there's anything else added to that, I'm sorry, you've missed it. I didn't say that. God did. There's no other name that's given among men whereby men must be saved. It's in heaven or on earth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and that alone. So it does matter. And God said, I want you to know I purposed my church. I gave myself for it. Didn't we just read that right there? Why? That he might present it to himself. God put Adam to sleep that he might present to him a wife. God allowed his son to die that he might bring forth his local New Testament church. He paid the price for the church. Isn't that good? And so God, for you and I, has a plan that we might glorify him. We just read that right there. So how about we say, God, ready? You're the church. We're the church. No one's going to say it for you, but are you willing to say, Lord, I want you to do your work in me. I want you to glorify yourself in my life. Now, when you do that, I want you to know this. Listen, the work is God's, not yours. And that's a good thing. So when Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk to the lame man, was that their work? God led them to do that, didn't he? And they had confidence that God was going to do it. And it happened, didn't it? And then when the Israelites, the religious crowd, were looking at Peter and John, Peter says, well, hey, men, brethren, why, men of Israel, why are you looking at us? How did he know that? That is not the nature, that is not our nature. We want to say, look how great I am. Not when God's got a hold of you. And so, do you think Peter and John, do you think their faith was a little encouraged and a little blessed when that man got up and walked and he was leaping and praising God? And do you think all the 5,000 men that saw that and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think they were a little bit blessed? Why? Because God was working. And then when they were apprehended by the religious people and then they couldn't do anything. Listen, those religious people wanted to shut them up, didn't they? Could they do it? Because God was working. Listen, if we're shutting up, it's because God's not working. if we don't have anything to say of what God is doing, then maybe we better go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am missing your work in my life. I am asking you to do your work in my life. Nothing has changed with God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is just waiting. God is saying to you tonight, do you want to get excited? God is saying, do you want me to do something in your life that will awe you and amaze you at the power of God? Amen. Call on me. Isn't that what he said? Right. Tell me you need me. Tell me that's what you want in your life, because God will not infiltrate your life. But he will be invited by faith, by trusting in him. And so tonight, listen, I want you to know God is waiting for you and me to say, get busy in my life, please, God, for your glory, because I will praise your name when I see you working in my life. I'm going to get up in the morning and spend whatever time you want. Don't make anything. Just until you're done. Lord, I want you in my life. And then I'm going to open up your word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I want to see what you've promised in my life. Ask God to lead you in the scriptures to see what he wants you to see, and watch where God will lead you. Hey, were you blessed this morning in the word of God?
Amen.
Are you being blessed tonight?
Amen.
How in the world do you think you got that? God gave it. I will tell you, I could have never come up with that in a million years. You know what I said to the Lord? Lord, listen, I have nothing to give your people unless you give it to me. And I want you to know, listen, when I hear people say, and I tell you, when you tell me God blessed me through your word, you know what? And my wife told me today, all right, I'm just being honest with you. There were some people, and she told me who they were, that said, because I was busy talking with somebody or doing something, tell your husband God blessed me. And some people got the opportunity to tell me, and I say, thank you. I am glad to know that, because I praise God for that. I want you to know, listen, I praise the Lord, because without God, I can do
nothing.
I believe that. Nothing. Nothing. I have nothing to give you unless God gives it to me. And you and I are the same, and I want you to know God wants us excited about what he wants to do in our lives. And listen, listen, I'm flesh and blood, I am not any different than you are. And I ask God to help me with my misunderstandings and with my shortcomings. And Lord, but I'm looking to you, because you are the faithful one to do the work that you've promised. That will completely... God is waiting for you to call on him. He is waiting for me. Now listen, has God blessed us today? I would dare say yes. He's blessed me. But you know what? Tomorrow is another day. And may we say even tonight, Lord, bless me tomorrow to walk with you. Show me your way, your will for my life, that I might walk in your ways to honor and glorify you. That's what Peter and John and all the other disciples were doing. And then all of a sudden they said, man, listen, when the religious group got a hold of Peter and John and said, listen, we're telling you not to preach in that name anymore. You remember that? What was it that Peter and John couldn't wait to do? They could not wait to go back to the others and tell them, oh, let me tell you what God has done. That's the testimony God wants to give. Listen, to his church, to the body of Christ. It's not a one-man show. God did not say Paul only. Paul said so many times, the grace that God has given to us. Us. And so God tonight is saying, oh, that the church of God would know how much I want to bless the whole body, every part. So tonight, God wants to give you and I a testimony. What kind of testimony? Lord, Thou art God. Thou art God. He wants to do a work in your life and mine that we would stop back and let the world... Listen, they didn't believe, the Pharisees, they didn't believe. But here's one thing they said, ready? What can we say against them? What can we say against them? We can't say a thing. It seems like God had stopped the mouths of the foolish. And it wasn't by... what was it, because Peter was so finesseful and just had all this charisma? No, Peter kept putting his foot in his mouth in his own strength. But when he was yielded over to the Lord, oh my goodness, what great things God has done for him. Amen? And what great things God wants to do for us. So tonight, God wants you and I to have the testimony of saying, Lord, they already knew it, didn't they? Thou art God. Would you stand? Let's pray as we prepare for the Lord's invitation. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder of what your will is and what your plan has always been for your church and for every part of the body, every member of the body of Christ, that you might glorify yourself in and through it. And so, Lord, tonight may we be reminded and be excited that you are wanting to bless each and every one of us with your power. Bless your church, bless your people, and Lord, may we call upon you to perform that which you've already promised, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.